You don't know that. Killian, what possibilities have you seen, Kian? Kian, I've seen her in my future. I've seen you all in my future. Nothing more concrete than that. Moses, you've seen us miserable and trying to kill each other? Kian, no. They were happy dreams. But they were just dreams. Kaelin glanced over to Isabel with a sigh. Her head was starting to loll to the side like she had accidentally fallen asleep waiting for him. His phone kept vibrating, but he slipped it into his pocket, crouching before her and gently clasping her shoulder. Oscar would come around. They really didn't have any other choice, and it was best to get it all out in the open before summer break, so everyone would have the space to think and process before coming back for their third year. He was going to need them all to come back strong and ready. Isabel jolted awake, her fists raised in defense, her eyes wide and panicked as she sucked in a heaving breath.
Professor!
She quickly lowered her fists.
Sorry, I fell asleep.
Sorry to keep you waiting. His fingers twitched with the need to sweep the fretful strands of hair falling into her face back behind her ears, but he only turned it, offering her his palm instead. She hesitantly placed her smaller hand into his grip, and he helped her up.
Isabel trailed Kaelin back to Dorm A, feeling guilty every step of the way. He was holding an umbrella over her head like he was her bodyguard or something, while he got absolutely drenched. But she was also too terrified to scoot closer to him, and he seemed to prefer maintaining a suitable distance between their bodies. She had tried to take the handle of the umbrella off him a few times, but he only grunted out a sound to make her hand drop. He didn't speak until they were both inside his office, and even then, it was just to curse out Mikkel under his breath as he slicked back his wet hair.
Come on up.
He opened a door, revealing a set of stairs, and nodded toward them. She slipped past him and hurried up the stairs, finding herself in a room much like the other bedrooms on the first level, complete with an ensuite and a bay window, though this one obviously couldn't be climbed out of. He snatched a change of clothes from his walk-in and disappeared into his ensuite, emerging clean and dry, this time in one of the suits he wore when he wasn't training her to climb, though he left the jacket and tie off.
Take a seat, he suggested, motioning to the bay window. Do you have a short list of classes you're interested in?
Yes. I want to do Professor Lai's acro duo class.
Duo?
He questioned, gripping the back of his desk chair and spinning it around to face her before sitting, his ankle planted over his knee as he shifted his hips to get comfortable, his big arms crossing over his chest. His vanilla scent was mild and sweet, his influence a low hum of comfort. She wasn't sure how he was doing it, but it seemed deliberate somehow.
Yeah?
She frowned.
Why do you say it like that?
Because you won't dance with Elijah. They've given you several opportunities to.
Okay, firstly,
she reared back in surprise.
Was that some sort of ploy? His whole running into casting problems thing? Why do you even know about it? And secondly, I did agree to dance with Elijah, and we did. Dance.
Kaelin ran his tongue over his firm lower lip, eyeing her quietly.
It wasn't a ploy. They noticed your name on the sign-up sheet for Lai's audition list, and also signed up in case you wanted to audition with a partner. But then, well, I suppose when they realized you were too scared to dance with Elijah, then they wanted to figure out why. Sometimes it isn't good to pique Elijah's curiosity.
That goes for both of them,
she muttered. Kaelin's lips twitched.
Perhaps. So, any other classes?
Urban dance, interpretive choreography, hip-hop fusion, and lyrical dance.
That leaves one free slot.
Will I be continuing with the small group sessions next year?
Yes, and your tutoring sessions with me and Elijah. Since Elijah and I will take up 2 sessions a week, I'll work out a way to spread those over your classes with the lowest priority. But I would suggest you drop urban dance from the list. Interpretive choreography is basically the same thing, except the professor for that class is organizing a guest choreographer each week, and you'll gain far more experience. And you should add in Icon Matters, the introduction class. It's a whole lot of bullshit, but they teach you how to manage your social media and all the associated skills you're going to need to play the game going forward.
She nodded quietly, dropping her attention to her lap as she played with the hem of her shirt.
Talk to me, he suggested. What are you thinking?
Just that I need to start taking this seriously. She raised her chin, swallowing as she met his eyes. You guys will all be fine if something happens to me, or if we're all separated. But I won't. And the only way I get those surrogate pills is if I stay out of the settlements. The only way to secure my future is to win this game.
He nodded, regarding her seriously. Welcome to the club.
I'm not asking you to help me or anything. She went back to fiddling with her shirt, her cheeks heating. I'm just asking you not to sabotage me.
What if there was a way for all of us to win?
He asked quietly, his deep rumble tunneling shock through her. What? Her head jerked up. No, they only choose one winner. Kaelin sucked in a deep breath, shaking his head.
It's a conversation for later. With everyone. We need to do this as a group. From now on, we need to do everything as a group. Understood?
I think so.
You understand, Princess. So let me rephrase. Do you agree?
He leaned forward, notching his forearms on his knees, drawing his face close to hers, his fierce amber eyes digging into hers with a glint of something she couldn't quite read. Can I think about it? She dodged. For some reason, that amused him.
You really think you can do this alone, Carter?
No. She chewed on the inside of her cheek. Yes? Maybe.
Do you want to?
He caught her hand in his, ducking his head to catch her eye. It wasn't like when Teek or Charlie grabbed her hand. His was so warm, his palms so rough, and he was so much bigger than her. Her own hand practically disappeared.
Because we want to do this together. I know the Alphas fight amongst themselves, but we've known each other far longer than the years we've been here. They're supported by myself and Mikkel, and by each other. We trust in the group, and we protect the group. We don't keep secrets, though some of us try for a little while. I'm not saying it's simple or perfect, but you need the group, and none of us want to see you suffer on your own.
Why not? I haven't known any of you longer than a couple of years. I'm not like your family. I'm just a really annoying thing that happened to all of you.
Technically, Kaelin smirked. Every one of them were an event that happened to me at some point in time. I collected each of them and added them to the group to protect them, because all of them need to win this game. Now I'm doing the same with you. You're exactly like them. Not some annoying outlier.
What do you mean? Why did you have to protect them?
Let's talk about it tonight. Are you in, Isabel?
He squeezed her hand, that comforting brush of his power settling over her shoulders like a hug. Okay, how are you doing that? She finally blurted, widening her eyes at him. How are you pushing out good emotions on me? I usually only feel negative stuff.
Just something I thought I'd try.
His lips twitched into a half smile.
I'm glad it's working.
But how?
Elijah found some interesting information about people influencing emotions through a bond. We're not fully bonded, but I guess it still works to some extent. I just think about what I want you to feel and push it at you. Why don't you try it?
Me? She reared back, blinking at him. He looked serious. You want me to push my emotions on you? You want me to treat you like a sigma?
I wouldn't have asked if I didn't.
He caught her other hand, tugging both until he could hold them against his knees as she shifted forward.
Close your eyes if you need to focus.
It was an immediate relief to close her eyes, to pretend that Kaylin wasn't holding her hands and asking her to trust him and use him like a sigma sponge. She pulled in a deep breath. Okay, now what?
Pick a feeling.
That would require her to actually sort through her feelings. She twitched, a second from pulling her hands away. But he seemed to anticipate her reaction, tightening his grip on her before she could actually move. She huffed out an annoyed sound, turning inwardly to sort through what she was feeling. Scared. Terrified, really. Betrayed. Angry. Sad. Surprised. But there was a tiny, minuscule, little spark of hope in there, too, clinging on to the promise Kaylin dangled over her. She might not have to be on the outside anymore. She could make a choice, and it really seemed like they were giving her this choice instead of demanding she become one of them. She clung to the sliver of hope, pushing everything else away, but paused as the sad feeling persisted, floating back into the forefront of her mind. Her grandfather had died at some point, and nobody had told her. She still didn't know how or when it had happened. With another sigh, she shoved that aside and gripped onto the faintest thread of hope. Now what?
Push it. Literally. Just give it a mental shove toward me.
She frowned, unsure how to do what he was asking.
Imagine it's an object of some kind, he suggested.
It was already like a thread in her mind, so she turned it into a needle instead, and then imagined stabbing Kaylin through the chest with it. He grunted, dropping her hands. Her eyes flew open, staring at the hand he held over his chest. Crap! Did that hurt? She blurted. He laughed.
Did you just stab me with hope?
You said to turn it into an object.
And you chose a knife?
A needle.
A needle that you stabbed me with.
He chuckled again, the yellowed amber of his eyes sparking to life. Well, I mean, I guess I thought about shoving it through your chest. I was just thinking that it needed to be inside you if you were going to feel it. I can't believe I just did that. His phone started to ring, and he fished it out of his pocket, glancing at the screen before bringing it to his ear. Whoever was on the other line started speaking immediately.
Yes, she's with me. Wait, what? You felt that? Let me check.
He hung up, and then tapped on his phone a few times before turning it to face her. It was the group text that she was part of, and as each new message popped up, she found her brows shooting up in surprise. Moses.
The hell was that?
Kian.
Was that you, Isabel?
Nico.
Did we all feel that?
Gabriel.
I'm guessing so.
Theodore.
I just felt a cute little illy-flavored knife stab into my chest.
Killian.
And it felt kind of good?
Oscar.
Stabbing usually does.
Gabriel.
Felt hopeful.
They all felt it, she said numbly.
So, what do you think?
Kaelin lowered his phone, his smile slipping as his regard turned heavy again.
Are we doing this together?
I don't even know what you guys are doing.
I didn't mean that. That's another conversation. I mean, are we dealing with the bond together from now on? As a group. No secrets. Tackling everything together.
I guess that sounds nice. She bobbed her head slightly. And what if there's a fight? What if someone changes their mind?
The bond happened to all of us,
Kaelin said gruffly.
Like a cyclone. You can't change your mind about a cyclone. It's happening, whether you like it or not. We're just deciding to board ourselves up in the same house, to try and survive it together.
I understand. It just feels like a change of pace, suddenly. She struggled to vocalize how she was feeling, but Kaelin seemed to understand.
Bonds are just magic and mayhem to us.
He frowned.
When our eyes changed, it didn't suddenly change our feelings or make our world tilt and crack open to include you. Our world was still the same as it was the day before. It was us against everyone else. And you were part of everyone else. We had no idea what you were going to do or what kind of person you were going to turn into. We all have something serious on the line here. Something we can't just throw away because you appeared out of nowhere and seemed nice enough.
She laughed awkwardly. I never held it against you. It was pretty obvious you guys were all playing a larger game. But I hated being alone with this secret while you all had each other.
And you put your trust in the wrong person, and look how it turned out.
His fingers drifted up over the scars on her arm, making her shiver.
So you understand the risks we were facing while trying to decide whether we should trust you or not. Our game here at the Academy aside, if you had told anybody about Theo and Moses' abilities, they would be dead, and the rest of us wouldn't be much better off. I promised to protect those boys, and that's exactly what I did, even if it was against you. Now I'm promising to protect you, too. And I'm so fucking sorry this had to be so hard for you.
I guess it's okay. She let her eyes fall, watching as his hands settled against her forearms, that comforting feeling tingling all over her again. But I have a request. Can I have a request?
Sure.
He sounded like he was smiling again.
Why not?
I don't care if alphas are more aggressive and territorial. Whatever they're allowed to do in the Stone Dahlia, so am I. If they're allowed to do it with whoever they like, then so am I. Just because I can emotionally handle it doesn't mean I should have to.
You're right,
he grimaced.
Elijah and Gabriel are already transitioning out of their rooms down there.
Since when? She interrupted, confused.
Elijah sent us a message this morning that they were going to become floaters instead. They're going to look around for something else to get into so that they're settled for when the track team tries to recruit the others.
Oh. She wondered if that was after her conversation with Elijah that morning in the chapel. He hadn't really said that he liked what he did, only that other people liked it. Maybe he didn't want to bring any of the other alphas into something he wasn't even enjoying that much. Or, more likely, there was a larger plan in motion, because it was Elijah. So I'm free to do what I like, then? She asked, her eyes flicking up to Kaelin's. Immediately, his gaze narrowed.
No, princess. Not when you're in my room. And that has nothing to do with double standards. When you're with me, the rules I gave you last night still apply. When you're in my room, I own you.
He eased back, clearing his throat.
Other than that, yes. But be as considerate of them as they are being of you.
I thought they were just indifferent, she challenged. He smirked.
Gabriel, maybe.
Elijah is indifferent to no one. And Theo is definitely keeping Wallace at arm's length because of you. It would serve him better to be all over her for the cameras. At the moment, he's coming across as a shitty boyfriend, and that doesn't help his reputation at all.
Well, she shrugged, feigning indifference. If I ever get a fake boyfriend, I'll be just as considerate. Kaylin's hands twitched on her arms, but his expression didn't shift.
Make sure he's not easily broken. Any other stipulations?
Don't the other guys need to agree to that one?
They'll do what I tell them to do.
Even Oscar?
No. Good luck with Oscar.
She smiled, despite herself, shaking her head a little. He sounded like he was joking, but he was probably serious. Okay. She gave him a succinct nod. You have a deal. Chapter 18. Green is Golden. The storm had eased up a little, but not much. Isabel spent the rest of her fifth period in Kaylin's office, despite attempting to go back to class after their discussion. He had stopped her the second she picked up her bag, directing her to a seat opposite his desk downstairs instead, and then disappearing. He came back with a tray of coffee for them both, plus a few bowls of snacks, and she gave up her protests almost immediately. She needed to prepare her audition for Lai's class anyway. She curled up in the chair, sipping her coffee and flipping through her playlist as she nibbled on a shortbread cookie. Her finger paused over the song she and Elijah had danced to, her brow crinkling. Shoving the rest of the cookie into her mouth, she pulled up his number and sent him a private message. Isabel, do you still want to dance with me? He didn't respond immediately, and she brought up one of her social media accounts, flicking through to see if any of the other second years had posted pictures of their preparations for final assessments. When Elijah's name popped up along the top of her screen, she almost choked on the buttery cookie that threatened to lodge in the back of her throat. She quickly swallowed and clicked on the message. Elijah.
I organized with Lai to submit a video application.
Isabel. For us both? Elijah.
If you want.
Isabel. Why a video application? Elijah.
In case I surge again. Sorry about that, by the way.
Isabel. Isabel. That's okay? Isabel. Can you explain why that happened? And why Gabriel made me leave? I'm confused about when I'm supposed to stay and show that I'm safe, or leave to keep myself safe. Elijah.
You're always safe. Gabriel was the one who wasn't safe.
Isabel. Why? Elijah.
He was taking you away from me.
Elijah.
And it happened because I wasn't expecting us to be so good together. I knew you were feeling self-conscious, and that's why you didn't want to dance with me. But then you let go, and the way you were responding to me was just...
Elijah.
It was lovely. You were lovely.
She had felt lovely dancing with Elijah. It was the best she had felt since waking up in the hospital, and she was almost deliriously happy that he was offering to dance with her again. Isabel. Thank you. Elijah.
So you've taken on one of us. How about two of us?
Isabel. You mean Gabriel? But we didn't practice any three-way choreography. Elijah.
I have something prepared. I'm sure you can memorize it quickly enough. Gabriel wants to apply for Lai's third-year class as well.
Isabel. It sounds fun, actually. Elijah.
That's my girl.
She stared at the screen, rereading his last message as he kept typing. He obviously wasn't trying to claim her as a mate or anything, and she certainly wasn't hoping he would, but for some reason, his choice of words had butterflies flaring up in the pit of her stomach anyway. Elijah.
Meet us in your usual training room for a few practice runs at the choreography before we go outside. Kian is going to film the performance. Wear something simple and easy to move in. We're going to make this count. I don't like coming in second place.
She began to type out the fact that it was raining, but then backspaced over the words. Obviously, he knew it was raining. Instead, she told Kaylin that she needed to get ready to shoot her submission video and padded into Killian's room to sort through the dresses he had brought over from Dorm O. She picked out a couple and laid them out over the bed, snapping a picture of them and sending it to the group chat, since Kian, Elijah, and Gabriel would all be involved in the video.
Isabel. Which one?
Gabriel.
Send us photos of you in them, puppy. Can't tell like this.
She dragged the options into the bathroom and stripped off her clothes, pulling on a high-waisted pair of black dance underwear. She considered a bra, but then decided to skip it, since she didn't want her sleeves to slip and show off any straps, and a few of the dresses were open-backed. She snapped pictures of the front and back of every dress she had brought in with her, and then sent them off all at once, leaning against the counter to wait and see which one they thought would fit their song choice best. She assumed they already had a song, since Elijah mentioned teaching her choreography. Killian's response was instant, even though he had nothing to do with the dance.
Killian.
The third one.
She checked back through the photos and clicked on the third one. It was a black mesh design, made of thin, delicate silk. The sleeves were long and fitted, the neckline high, tight along her chest, and flared out from there in silken ripples to her knees. It created an interesting texture interplay over her skin and would probably look really nice in the rain. The only problem was, the mesh was completely see-through. A bodysuit was supposed to be worn beneath it. She had arranged her arms casually over her chest when she took the photo, but she would need to swap out her underwear for a leotard if that dress was the choice. She ducked back into the closet as her phone vibrated again. Theodore.
The third one. Hard to see the top of it, though.
Kian.
Number three. The others can burn for all I care.
Isabel. There's nothing wrong with the others.
Kian.
But none of them are number three.
Killian.
Will the sleeves be too tight? Is that silk?
Oscar.
Jesus Christ.
Isabel. Yeah, it's fine. Just stretchy enough.
Isabel.
Oscar?
Oscar.
Did you just send us a topless photo?
Nico.
She clearly has a dress on.
Oscar.
She has a net on.
Isabel.
Moving on.
Oscar.
Oh, no, you don't.
Kaylin, admin.
The third option is the best.
Nico.
I agree. It's pretty.
Isabel. Thanks, Nico.
Gabriel.
We also like number three. But wear a leotard, puppy.
Isabel.
I was just trying it on.
She set her phone aside to extract a leotard from the drawer Killian had cleared out for her underwear, and was shocked when she felt a hand against her spine. She jolted upright, clutching the leotard to her chest as she spun around. Oscar tilted his head as he watched her back into the set of drawers.
Fell into another trap, little rabbit.
I could have been naked.
She wasn't. She was wearing the last dress option. Still, she could have been. And why did Oscar have to move so quietly?
You could have been,
he shrugged.
She flicked him across the chest with her leotard. Don't be rude. I'm allowed to be here. I'm allowed privacy.
Not from me.
He stepped forward, and she tried to scramble back further, but there was nowhere to go.
Heard you had a thing for closets. Thought I'd see if it was true.
She tried to hit him with her leotard again, but he caught it this time, yanking it out of her hands and tossing it behind him. Then his body was pressing up against hers, and the little brass drawer handles were poking into her back.
Are you jealous?
She asked, trying not to sound intimidated and thinking he would just laugh at her for the question. Instead, he just quietly nodded, his hands tugging at her hips until she was pulled up to her toes, and then he ducked down, planting his lips by her ear.
I thought I only had to worry about Theo, but everyone wants a little taste of cherry,
Hmm? She sucked in a quick breath, feeling his teeth graze over her neck, her stomach clenching tightly. They're my surrogates. They're helping me.
Is that what they're doing?
Oscar chuckled darkly, easing off her a little, his dark eyes catching hers.
I have no interest in helping you. So how do you explain this?
You're trying to intimidate me. She frowned, pushing against his chest.
Wrong.
He pulled her up suddenly, catching her against his body. One arm wrapped around the back of her thighs while his other hand caught her face, drawing her lips to his.
I just want to get deep inside you because you're already deep inside me, and I hate it.
He muttered the words against her lips before kissing her roughly, his tongue invading her mouth. She clutched at his shoulders, her body bowing into his, and as soon as he got the reaction he wanted, he dropped her, spinning her around to face the drawers.
Stay like that,
he muttered, his heat leaving her body for a moment before he was back, his hands teasing up the backs of her thighs.
Color, rabbit.
Yellow.
Why yellow?
He sounded amused, his fingers slipping beneath her dress to run lightly along the curve of her ass at the tops of her thighs.
Tell me.
Because I don't want to be late.
You won't be. I'm just making sure you're dressed properly.
His touch drifted up higher, his thumbs hooking into the tops of her dancing underwear, and then he was pulling them down her legs, bending behind her to help her step out of them. He wrapped his hand around the inside of her calf, and as he rose, so did his hand. She did a quick mental calculation, realizing that Oscar was so much taller than her that there was no way his hand would stop short of her pussy if he straightened to his full height. And then he would know how wet she was just from his kiss. Hell, he would only need to hit her upper thigh to know that, because she could feel the stickiness there already. Hit by a moment of panic, she immediately tried to clench her legs together, but he must have predicted her because his boots were suddenly between her feet, kicking her legs out wider.
This is the group's second debut,
he murmured, his voice gravelly as he gripped her inner thigh, his other hand slowly wrapping her hair around his fist.
You should make everyone sick with jealousy, violent with it. Nothing should look better than the three of you dancing together. Every single person watching should want to peel their own skin off just to be you.
He cupped her between the legs, one of his fingers lightly stroking against her clit.
But first, you need to feel all of that for yourself.
She didn't know what to say or do. Her throat felt painfully dry, her limbs threatening to go weak and collapse her into a pile of bones on the ground. Does this feel so good because of the bond? She squeaked out in surprise, her hands flying up to support herself against the drawers when he tugged her head back against his chest, bowing her body backwards.
No.
Oscar breathed deeply against the top of her head before drawing slow, gentle circles around her clit. No? She froze, and he quickly spun her around, leaning down to capture her mouth.
I meant yes, he growled into the kiss. So don't fucking worry.
He knelt, pushed her dress up to her hips, and buried his face between her legs, a second growl vibrating out of his body and into hers. He pulled one of her legs over his shoulder and began to lick her roughly, all gentleness dropping away from him. He sucked her clit and scraped his teeth over her, making her jolt in his hands before he thrust his tongue into her, pushing it deep into her channel before returning his attention to her clit, a groan building up in his chest. As soon as she neared orgasm, He pushed her dress higher and sank his teeth into her stomach, causing her to yelp out in pain.
No orgasms. That's for later.
He snapped, pulling up and spinning her around again, kneeling behind her.
Step.
She glanced down, blinking in surprise at the leotard he held open, waiting for her to step into. She did, and he slid it up her legs and over her hips. He flicked her dress off, pressing behind her as he reached for her breasts.
So perfect,
Oscar mumbled, squeezing them gently at first, and then harder.
You're almost dressed, baby.
He released her, and she heard the rustling of his clothing before something hot and hard was pressing against her ass. He pulled open the back of her leotard, pushing his cock into the material, nestling it between her legs. He paused there, with her frozen in shock, and cupped her breasts again, his tongue running up along the back of her ear. She shuddered, and he pulsed between her legs.
Color,
he whispered, his rough voice making her shudder. Yellow. Her voice was barely audible, but he must have heard her anyway.
Because you don't want to be late, or because you can feel my dick, Carter?
Don't want to be late. He started pushing against her, shocking her into silence. She could feel all of the honey dripping out of her, coating him as he sawed a few inches back and forth, and she almost came just from the knowledge that she was soaking him, and he was allowing it. He pinched her nipples and she spasmed, her empty channel clenching desperately. Need more, she demanded quietly, wriggling to get some relief, but he was so careful to avoid her clit, to continue denying her the orgasm she had lost.
Fuck.
He pushed against her entrance and then backed off a little, suddenly gripping and jerking along his own length, the head of his dick bobbing at her slick entrance with every stroke.
You're going to dance with me on you, he commanded. In you. You're mine.
His other hand fell between her legs, finding her clit and pinching it roughly.
Ask me to come in you, and I'll let you come with me. All you have to do is ask, baby.
She should have been thinking things like, Oscar is insane, and will this cause the alphas to surge, and will this cause a public bloodbath? But instead, there was nothing in her mind past trembling heat and desperation. She nodded and felt a sharp tug on her clit in response.
I don't hear you asking,
Oscar snarled, quickening his strokes in a threatening way, like he was going to go ahead and do it anyway. I want it, she tried to push back against him, and he grunted.
Prove it, Illy.
He increased the pressure against her clit until she felt her orgasm building back up again. I want to wear you while I'm dancing, she begged quietly, ashamed of her own words. I want you all over me. He pushed until he was firmly notched against her pussy lips, forcing himself in barely even half an inch.
Put your fingers in your mouth, baby. You're about to scream.
What?
Do it,
he grunted, swatting her right across the front of her pussy.
Now, three of them. Suck on them.
She quickly slipped three fingers into her mouth.
Good girl. Turn your head and show me.
She tilted her head, her cheek pressing to the drawers, and felt his cock twitch against her.
There's my pretty girl. Fuck.
He released his twitching length and briefly grasped her wrist, pushing her own fingers deeper into her mouth before he cupped her breast again, rubbing her clit harder as he teased her nipples.
Time to scream, rabbit.
Her orgasm rushed up on her, but she still wasn't prepared to scream until he palmed his cock again and pressed another inch into her, stretching her opening so much that the burn sent an immediate wave of fright through her. She hadn't even thought about the fact that he was so much bigger than the crystal, or that he might try to go any deeper, even though he was still only an inch or so inside her. He pinched her clit again, right in the middle of her orgasm, and she screamed around her own fingers, a husky, desperate, and shocked cry that had him groaning and pumping hot liquid into her channel. She tried to press further back against him, but he delivered a hard smack to her right ass cheek, pausing her movement.
"Pass me something from the drawer,"
he demanded quietly.
"We don't want a messy leotard, do we, Carter?"
She slipped her fingers out of her mouth, wincing at the trail of drool that drooped between her hand and her mouth. Oscar grunted, slapping her again, lighter this time.
"Can't have a red ass, either."
She pulled open the drawer with her own things inside, her body feeling warm and tingly as she extracted a cotton crop top, which was getting a little too small for her anyway, and handed it back to him. "I can't show any stains on my leotard for the video," she said, completely in shock that she was even having to say that. And to Oscar.
"I know, Rabbit."
He sounded like he was smirking. He pulled out of her and spun her around to face him, holding the crop top between her legs.
"You're addictive, you know that?"
She blinked at him, wondering at the unguarded look on his face. So was he. But she didn't want to say it. "Do you think this is normal?" she asked instead. "This desperation? I feel like I could do that all day." His eyes slitted, heat sparking in the dark depths.
"Don't tempt me to go further. I'm trying to be good."
"That was you trying to be good?" she asked, a little breathless when his gaze fell to her still exposed breasts.
"Yeah."
The word was a rasp, and he quickly pulled her leotard the rest of the way up, hooking her arms through the straps and snapping them against her shoulders. She had pressed her legs together to keep the cotton secure, but he tugged it out carelessly, fitting her leotard into place with a thoughtful expression.
"That was the least violent way for me to deal with my proprietary aggression. The real question is..."
He settled his big hands on her waist.
"Why are you letting me? I'm a fucking monster, and you're perfect."
She stared at him for a moment, too warm and tingly from her recent orgasm to feel anything except comfortable. "You've never hurt me."
"I lied to you about being your mate."
"I would have done the same." She rolled her eyes. "I mean, sure, I was angry you all hid it from me. But I wasn't ready to have a mate, and I didn't know all of you, either. I would have absolutely hidden it until I was sure I could trust all of you. I think you did the best you could."
"We try and separate you and Theo all the time,"
he spat out, almost angrily,
"even though we all know how you two feel about each other."
She fell into silence again, wondering where the conversation was going. It was like he needed her to hate him. "I hadn't noticed," she said mildly. He scoffed.
"You can't possibly be this beautiful, this pliant, this soft and nice."
He spat the words out like they were curses.
"For all of us, something has to give. Your feelings for Theo will grow and the rest of us will be forgotten. Or you'll figure out how much Killian likes you and then not even Theo will measure up."
"Don't be ridiculous." She crossed her arms, keeping them there even when he picked her up by her biceps and carried her to the bed, setting her on the end of it as he cleaned up the closet. She wished she had the perfect thing to say. but it had never occurred to her that the Alphas would be jealous of each other. Maybe Moses, but he would be jealous of Theodore spending time with her because of Theodore, not because of her. Now, she was reevaluating. She had grown closer to Kian, especially over the settlement tour, and Nico, who she had spent more time with over the past few weeks than any of the others. And suddenly Moses was volunteering to be her surrogate, and Gabriel was her friend, and Elijah liked to dance with her. Were they developing feelings? Was she? No, that was stupid. There were 8 of them, or 10 if she included the professors. She wasn't exactly friends with Mikkel or Kaelin, but she was growing dependent on them both. It wasn't something they were trying to engineer, but both were so accustomed to taking care of the other Alphas that they had slotted her in as one of their charges. And she liked how safe it made her feel. "I won't pick favorites," she whispered, so low she almost thought he didn't hear her. But he paused, her silk mesh dress clenched in his fist.
"Not even Theo."
Beautiful superstar Theodore. How could anyone ever match up to him? Except Kilian did it all the time, with his lush smiles and sly gazes that made her giggle. And Kian could hypnotize her with the click of his tattooed fingers, wielding a power over her that nobody else seemed to hold. And Gabriel, stoic and stern-faced, always seeming to quietly anticipate her needs. She would follow him anywhere, because she trusted him. She trusted in his calm, cold confidence. But nobody made her feel as safe as Kaelin. She took a deep breath, meeting Oscar's eyes. "I meant what I said. I won't. I can't pick favorites. I like the person I've become since I met all of you. And I don't think I would be the same if even one of you had been missing from the start." He dropped the dress beside her and started running his fingers through her hair, working out the tangles he had caused.
"I feel the same way about them," he admitted. "That's why this is hard. All my choices have been taken away, and I'm even more furious because you're... you. If you were awful, I could be glad you belonged to them. I could forget about you."
"Kaelin promised we're going to figure this out together." She knew she sounded afraid, and it was because Oscar and Moses were complete wild cards. Nico and Kilian didn't want mates, but they would do what was best for the group, and neither of them wanted to see her suffer. Elijah also didn't want a mate, but if they were willing to include her in their plans, it was only because Elijah had already told them it would work. But Oscar? He could throw it all back in their faces.
"You're a sweet girl."
He sighed, catching her chin, lifting her face to his as he crouched over her.
"We'll protect you, okay?"
She bounded up, throwing her arms around his waist. He grunted a surprised sound, but inserted his hands beneath her arms, hoisting her up so she could wrap her legs around him instead, his hands gripping her ass. His lips found hers, his kiss sharp, like he didn't know how to platonically hug someone. As soon as she began to squirm against him, he squeezed her and set her down, quickly dragging the dress over her head.
"Let's go,"
he said, his gaze sweeping over her.
"You look fucking amazing."
They arrived in the practice room just as the 6th period started, giving her exactly an hour to learn all of the choreography and for them to film and submit it to Lai before the end of the period. Kian, Gabriel, and Elijah were already there, rehearsing camera angles, and the 3 of them froze when she and Oscar pushed into the room. Kian ran a hand down his face, groaning deeply.
"Jesus, Illy. Aren't you sore, honey?"
No. She flushed bright red. He didn't have a crystal, so...
Shit.
Oscar suddenly froze, whipping out his phone.
Nico needs to talk to you about something. There were rules,
Elijah snarled.
What the fuck, Oscar?
Oscar just ignored him, moving to sit on the bench as he texted Nico. Gabriel turned on Isabel, his expression calm.
You okay?
There wasn't much more she could say on camera, so she just nodded.
Don't feel pressured to practice these dance routines just because everyone else wants to,
Elijah said, still angrily eyeing Oscar. He was probably trying to cover up Kian's "Are you sore?" comment by making it seem like she and Oscar had been practicing some choreography. Isabel chewed on her lip and nodded. Honestly, I wanted to dance. And I want to dance now, too, so let's just get on with it. The three of them turned to stare at her, and Oscar picked up his head from his phone, smirking darkly.
Wait until you get to practice the full routine, Carter.
Kian looked relieved.
Still haven't reached the end of the routine, then?
Not even close,
Oscar answered for her, while Gabriel and Elijah shared a loaded look.
How far into the routine exactly?
Kian turned his attention to Oscar.
Since you're so fucking chatty today.
Barely got through the basics.
Oscar shrugged, throwing his hands across the back of the bench seat.
Don't you guys have some choreography to learn? I didn't bring you the star performer looking like that for nothing.
Elijah quickly took control of the session, running through Isabel's part of the choreography while Gabriel stopped and started the music for them. And then they did a few rounds with Kian filming, watching it back each time to perfect their mistakes. She had been given challenges to quickly learn choreography before, but she was extra nervous this time. Oscar had called it the group's second debut, and she was starting to realize that what they were doing would, of course, be bigger than an application for Lai's class. It would be the first time Elijah and Gabriel had danced for the public, instead of hiding away in practice rooms and working on choreography with their headphones in. It would also be the first time anyone would see her dancing with a partner. Even when Lai partnered people up for his class, she was always left on her own, and he ended up using her to demonstrate things for the rest of the students. After their final run-through, Elijah picked up his phone to check the time.
We need to head out. The others should have finished setting up the floating platform by now.
Floating platform? She asked, jumping up and down to keep her muscles warm. It wasn't raining that much. What did they need a floating platform for?
You'll see.
Oscar dropped his arm over her shoulders, steering her from the room while Kian packed up the camera equipment. Elijah fell into step on her other side, Gabriel waiting at the door for Kian.
You two seem very friendly all of a sudden,
Elijah said, keeping his voice low as he glanced at Oscar.
What color were you, Carter?
Fuck off,
Oscar shot back.
You don't get to take notes on all her dance rehearsals.
Yellow, Isabel answered, ignoring Oscar. Because I didn't want to be late. Oscar scoffed quietly, and Elijah's lips twitched like he wanted to smile.
I see. So, you did well, then.
Don't you want to know how well Oscar did? She asked.
Both alphas chuckled. I think you probably did fine,
Elijah answered.
But I'm glad he went easy on you.
Hardly, she mumbled beneath her breath.
Didn't know I was capable of going that easy.
Oscar crooned into her ear before straightening.
Then you should be ready for me soon,
Elijah stated, in such a matter-of-fact way that Isabel had to repeat the words in her mind a few times, positive that she had misheard him. When she tripped over her own feet, he caught her easily, that amused smirk still on his lips.
I'm kidding, Carter.
Kian and Gabriel caught up to them as they left the fitness center, the five of them ducking into the rain and jogging toward the lake, where it seemed like all the other alphas had gathered. Theodore and Moses were in the water, Mikkel and Kaelin standing off to one side, Killian and Nico off to the other. There weren't many students lingering outside, but a few had begun to gather, huddling beneath the overhang of the old boathouse to observe what Theodore and Moses were doing.
"That should hold,"
Theodore called out, climbing out of the water.
"Need a hand onto the platform, Illy?"
He froze, coming to a stop before her, his nostrils flaring. Moses appeared behind him, dark gray eyes narrowing, his squared jaw clenching. Isabel refocused on Theodore, apprehension eating away at her chest like a vicious parasite. His jealousy was a searing flash, like a hot knife stabbing into her skin. But as soon as she felt it, it was suddenly gone. He was schooling his handsome face, pushing wet tendrils of hair out of his eyes as he bent down to her eye level.
"We were supposed to share you tonight,"
he whispered.
"But guess who just lost the privilege?" "Worth it,"
Oscar grunted, striding away to stand with Kaelin and Mikkel, Moses following him.
The two professors were both eyeing her like they could smell her from 20 feet away.
Or maybe they could just smell her on Oscar. She dropped her eyes, trying to shove away her nerves. As much as she had enjoyed Moses, Kian, and Oscar making her body feel so good, she was starting to get overwhelmed again, and she really needed a moment to settle herself.
"Don't get too excited, though."
Theodore straightened away from her, flashing his superstar smile.
"You're getting cuddles and treats and nothing else."
"Treats?" She winced, but somewhere inside her chest there was a little spark of happiness flaring to life. "I'm not a dog."
"No."
He reached out like he was going to touch her face, but then he clenched his fingers into a fist and dropped it back to his side.
"You're a brave fucking girl who deserves some caramel chocolate, a massive hug, and a funny movie."
That spark burned brighter, her smile taking over her whole face. "Okay, sounds good."
"Green?"
he asked, smirking at her. "So green." She could have hugged him in front of everyone. She was so relieved.
"There's my girl. Now, go kick some ass. If this doesn't break the internet, then we aren't doing our jobs properly."
Chapter 19. Isabel Bloody Carter. Theodore helped her onto the floating platform, which didn't wobble and sway as she had expected. It felt secure, like walking on concrete with a few millimeters of water layered on top. She moved to the middle as Elijah and Gabriel set up speakers along the edge of the lake. Even during their run-throughs in the practice rooms, they had still used headphones. Kian moved to the bank before the platform, setting up one camera to record them front on and making sure it was protected from the rain before he lifted a second camera to record them while he moved around. They were taking it so seriously, and it made her want to do really well for them. All the alphas had come to support, just like they did with Theodore's debut. Except this time, they weren't just supporting Elijah and Gabriel. They were supporting her, too. Mikkel and Kaelin both nodded at her, silently encouraging her, and she took up position, one leg pointed behind her, her arms wrapped over her chest, her head lowered as the rain pattered down around her. Elijah and Gabriel moved to either side of her, and Kian raised his arm.
"Music starting in 3, 2.
"Obsessed" by Jake Daniels began playing, and she moved immediately to Gabriel, Elijah backing up to the edge of the platform. They came together easily, their movements light and fun, sharp and clean, timed impeccably to each beat of the song. The choreography was actually quite difficult and nuanced, especially on a floating platform in the rain, but the beauty of it was in making it look simple and playful. She concentrated on making her body flow easily with Gabriel's, each roll and spin beautifully executed, every tiny movement precise and exacting. It helped that Gabriel was a sensational dancer, easily moving and influencing her body to keep them both in sync. Even the smallest movements of their hips and hands were aesthetically pleasing when they pulled them off at exactly the right moment, in perfect coordination. Gabriel's skill made them seem like they were sharing the same brain, their bodies reacting to a single command instead of two people moving independently. As soon as the second verse was introduced, they separated, Elijah joining in on her other side as they started the three-person choreography. The style of dance was contemporary fusion, throwing in some difficult acrobatic work with a more casual, lyrical, and hip-hop style. It meant that she was using every inch of her body, from her posture to her acrobatic strength, her timing and precision, her full body extensions, and even the arrangement of her hands and fingers. It was harder when they weren't touching and couldn't see each other in the practice room mirror, and the effect of the dance wouldn't work unless they were in perfect synchronization. So she tuned out everything to listen to the music, making sure she was always on time. When the verse changed again, she spun toward Elijah, Gabriel stepping off to the side to watch as Elijah caught her, and they melted together as easily as she had softened into Gabriel. Elijah tossed her up as the song slowed into the bridge, lifting his leg into a 90-degree angle and angling his upper body to form a straight line from his ankle to his head. He caught her against the line of his body like he was a shelf, and she balanced there, crossing her ankles and folding her arms behind her head in feigned ease, gazing up at the sky, despite the rain that spattered her face. She heard cheers and whistles from the bank, and then Elijah rolled her down again. She found herself smiling like an idiot the longer they danced, and when they separated into three again, she chanced a quick glance to the alphas on the bank, spotting Theodore's wide, bright smile and Killian's beautiful, happily curved lips before she was forced to refocus. Her smile faded a little as her concentration kicked in again. They were moving closer to the final stage of the choreography. This was the only part they hadn't practiced. Elijah had said it was because they wanted to save it for the final video, but she suspected he was refusing to practice it on the hard floor in case she hurt herself. At least on the platform, one of them would be able to push her off course and into the lake if things went wrong. Elijah picked her up and began to spin. His arm hooked around her hips as she bent forward, reaching out and turning herself limbless like a rag doll. He spun and spun and then released her, and her mind went blank.